Next up on Speak Up, here's a piece from our friends at CHLY in Nanaimo, BC.
This is a CHLY News Update. A local men's group is fighting isolation by bringing retired men together to help support the community. 3 years ago, a Nanaimo and District branch of Men's Shed was started as a way to combat loneliness in older men in the community. The group holds weekly walks and coffee meetups, monthly dinners, and community-based projects, all to give men purpose. One of their newest projects is to build little free libraries that will be donated to members of the community. But as the group continues to grow, they're looking for a new shed where members can gather, hang out, and work together on these projects. CHY attended one of their weekly coffee meetups at the Country Grocer on Bowen Road in Nanaimo.
Walks on Tuesdays, coffees on Thursdays. We rotate from one location to the next so that it's fair for everybody for commuting to the coffees.
That was Jim DeLorme, president of the Nanaimo and District Men's Shed Society. After working as a carpenter, DeLorme joined the group last year following his retirement, wanting to find something to do in the city.
People retire or they lose a spouse and they're lost. And this gives them something to do other than stare at a wall and be depressed. You know, they can help in the community. They can socialize with other members. We have all different trades. We got electricians, we got plumbers, we got mechanics, we got woodworkers. So there's so much knowledge to draw on. If you need a hand with something, we can call upon each other for help. It's great.
He says a big focus of the group is to be a mental health resource, something men can have a hard time searching for.
Like, there's too many men out there that are just stewing in their own despair. You know, they're depressed. They've got no purpose in life. If we can help by giving somebody a sense of belonging and purpose, then they want to get up in the morning to do something.
Many of the men in the group work on craft projects together with residents at senior centers.
We've done community gardens for a number of organizations around Nanaimo and Ladysmith and such. So we're just there. If someone in the community or organization needs help with something, they can ask us. If we can do it, fine. If we can't, then we'll let them know.
After the group was able to fix a member of the community's little free library, DeLorme thought building their own would be a great project for them. As a way to give the men a purpose and bringing more community connections through the libraries, the group has started building the little free libraries for anyone interested in having them in front of their homes.
But we're not looking to get paid for them. We're not selling them. We're giving them to them as a way of giving to the community. Because that's our goal, is that we're a community service type scenario. So the more we can fundraise for it, the more we can build.
DeLorme says they have started a GoFundMe as a way to fund and continue the library project.
We're just going to continually make them as long as we can afford to make them. And this is why we started the GoFundMe, so that we've got the cost down to roughly $75 a piece worth of material to build these, but we're giving them to the librarians for nothing.
But while working on the libraries, DeLorme says the group is still on the hunt for a new shed to call their own.
No, we lost our shed almost 2 years ago, and most of my fundraising things last year was just raising funds to pay for the storage container that we kept all our tools and stuff in.
He explains that when the group first started, they were able to rent a large work shed from a nonprofit agency for a low cost. But when the building was later sold, they lost access to the shed. DeLorme says currently, most of the woodworking projects are being done at his own garage. That can only fit a couple of people at a time.
We're looking for something that's close to free, about 800-ish square feet, that's got room for, you know, shop equipment and a table and chairs, maybe even like a little coffee area or something. Some place where we can gather and enjoy. Right? So we're pretty low maintenance. If we have to fix something up, we'll fix it to make it work. You know, it's just our budget isn't that great.
Keith and Dave are two members of the Nanaimo and District Men's Shed group, who joined this past year. Keith says he joined the group as he is nearing retirement and wanted to find a way that kept him active and getting off the couch. He says he's enjoying a bit of everything that the group does.
The meal once a month, this kind of thing, and the projects. I'm living in an apartment, so I haven't got a lot of tools, but these guys got to be resourceful, so I'm handy and I enjoy stuff, but I just haven't got the physical equipment. They do, a lot of them do. So.
Dave has been a member of the group for almost 5 months now.
I came from Ontario 7 years ago, and I was quite healthy and active at that time, and I was doing a lot of repairs around the house, and then I had cancer, had the operation, and so I've been cancer-free for over 4 years, and but depression set in, and I was a couch potato, and this gave me a way out, and gave me some time with the guys and some freedom.
He says he heard a news story about the Men's Shed group in Victoria and wanted to see if there was one in Nanaimo. He says seeing everyone weekly is what keeps him coming back.
Camaraderie, getting out of the house, working with my hands again. It's an all-around thing.
More information about the Nanaimo and District Men's Shed group and how to sign up to attend any of their meetings can be found on their website at bcmensshed.ca/Nanaimo. For CHY News in Nanaimo, this is Laura McKenzie.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs podcast, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.
Thank you again to CHLY and Lauren McKenzie for that piece. Coming up next, we have an interview that I did recently that aired yesterday morning, but I thought I would play it one more time. This is my interview with the assistant curator of the Burnaby Village Museum, Kate Petrusa, on the Many Voices project at the Burnaby Village Museum. Take a listen. Reporting from Burnaby, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. The Many Voices project at the Burnaby Village Museum is working towards including voices and perspectives that haven't had the opportunity to be a part of the city's historical record. Originally starting 4 years ago, the Burnaby Village Museum has recently put a call out for more participants to share their experiences living in Burnaby through oral history interviews as part of this project. Eventually, these interviews will become a part of the city's digital historic archive. To learn more about the project, how Burnaby residents can participate, and why it began in the first place, we reached out to Kay Petrusa, assistant curator at the Burnaby Village Museum. Please take a listen to our conversation.
I think one of the main jobs or roles of any museum is to collect information, stories, artifacts, and preserve those things and share those things, make them accessible. So the Many Voices Project is one way that we do that. We use the term oral history. It's kind of an academic term, but the idea being it's interviews with people who want to share their stories. And it's a really great way to broaden our collection. So we treat these interviews like we would an artifact, like a photograph. They're part of the museum's collection. And they really serve to diversify what we have in our collection. You know, the museum has been around for more than 50 years now. So the way we've collected, the people who've been involved with collecting has really evolved in 50 years. So this is an opportunity to reach groups of people that have not previously contributed to the museum at all, or to maybe a smaller degree. It's accessible to people who may not have a physical item that, you know, is deeply imbued with Burnaby history. I mean, we accept and collect things from all walks of Burnaby time. You know, it's not just old stuff. It's these interviews are examples of new contemporary stories that are relevant for Burnaby's history, for Burnaby's present, for the future. Another reason I really like doing this project is because I often do think into the future. So, you know, for example, we have, I would say, a really sizable collection right now of oral histories. And I love thinking of future curators, researchers, designers who will be able to draw on this really rich collection of like an intensively textured experience of what Burnaby's like right now. And another great thing about it is that it people share their contributions, their stories in their own words. So we do contribute, we do, when we have the recording, when we have the interview recorded, that audio is available. We also provide a transcript, but having that audio file is just a really, it's very personal. It's in someone's own words, so it's sort of a unique way of capturing history, a rich way to do it.
What was the outreach process like? Like, how do you get people to know that this is an option, this is something that they can contribute to?
Mm-hmm. Lots of ways. We've done, so yeah, I'm proud to say that the project is in its fourth year. And, you know, formally in its fourth year, but the museum has been doing outreach in this way for at least 10. So it sort of started with, at least initially, it started with a group of people that showed an interest in working with the museum. A community such as, well, the Chinese Canadian community came first. There's just, because there was an advisory at the time, an advisory committee, I should say. So a group, a close-knit group of people who had been here a long time and were just interested in sharing their history, getting it documented and sort of in the museum's collection. And it was really successful. And again, we definitely did oral histories. We've got some really great artifacts that came out of that push. And that kind of happened organically. I wasn't at the museum at the time, but that was sort of like the beginnings of it. And since then, there's been different evolutions of working with specific community groups, whether they come forward and say, we're a community, we have something to share, can we share it? The Many Voices Project is a perfect way for that. I mean, we do have other opportunities for really anyone to come forward and be involved with our programs or our community exhibitions call out, but this program I like because it's just always there. It's perennial. It's someone can come forward, an individual can come forward, or a group can come forward. So I guess how we've reached other people in the past, it's been a little bit organic. Sometimes it's been, you know, we also know Chinese Canadian community has been established in Burnaby a long time, but, you know, actually the South Asian community has been established a long time. So why don't we, you know, make a few contacts there? I can't even recall now how exactly that came forward. It might have been a desire on the museum's behalf with many people very willing to contribute. And the series of oral histories we did during that time actually culminated in an exhibition that was at the museum for 2 years. And so it's kind of, it's happened that way. And I find now, again, that we're this far along. We have a lot of people coming forward now. So it's really, really great to be able to sort of work month in and month out around connecting with these groups. But we also do to what we can on social media, other media such as this to sort of get the word out. And also we attend community events around Burnaby, you know, Pride and, Car Free Day, those kinds of things. So just trying, those are really interesting. We reach a very different group of people when we go out into the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like people are contributing on their own terms, and that kind of relates to another question I had, which was the format of how these contributions are made, you know, like whether if it's an interview, for example, whether you have like set questions that you ask, or if it's something that someone has a very specific idea in mind of what they want to talk about, and then they just come to you with that, or if it's a mix of both, maybe.
Yeah, it's a mix of both and everything in between. You know, some people, I find some people, who hear about the project are just instantly inspired and say, wow, finally, you know, I have a chance. Or More often it's, you know, a friend of a friend who thinks, you know, you have a really great story, you should tell it. Those people sometimes need a little encouragement around, like, well, they'll wonder, well, what is my story? I don't have a story. I've been here for a while. I like it, you know, so it takes a bit of time to talk those out. So in the case of someone that they're not really sure if it's for them, or they're not really sure if they're the right person, I think the way we kind of define it is, if you have a connection to Burnaby and you want to share it and sort of contribute to the historical records in perpetuity, that's more or less the criteria. So if someone's feeling a little bit like they don't know where to start, we usually meet with the person in advance. So sometimes, you know, media interviews is sort of like you're on and you go. But this is, we often will take the time in advance to just sort of meet with the person first and say, well, who are you? You know, it's just sort of general life story questions. That's generally how it goes. But in the case of, say, a certain community group, sometimes there is a thread, especially if we know this group of interviews will end up in an exhibition. Sometimes when you know as a community you're working towards an exhibition and you're going to be physically on display in the museum as well as online, we have done more structured interviews. You know, we'll always include sort of the life history, but we also include, you know, sometimes more specific things around, say, for example, if the community is known for textiles or a particular art form, or the community is known for being, having come from a war-torn country, like, how much do they want to speak about that? Or are they, as a group, trying to sort of change the narrative that they see in the media or out in the world, that they have the chance to sort of retell it or tell it in a different way or provide a different perspective? So it really depends on the person. I mean, the community collections are nice because it's a really, again, a really deep and rich textured snapshot. But the one-offs are great as well, especially because we've been doing this long enough now that something that comes across as sort of a random happenstance contact is now starting to plug into other stories we have or other collections that we have. So it depends.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So it's like a very broad view of Burnaby in a sense. I mean, but both in obviously like the identities that are presented, but then also just in the way that it's presented as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, currently we're pursuing. So again, we're always pursuing people with a connection to Burnaby, and we're always collecting material for the museum. But at this very moment, we are working with the Armenian community in Burnaby, which has had a cultural center in Burnaby for 50 years, which I hadn't known that previously. And we're also looking for the queer experience in Burnaby. So if there's that one, you know, we know maybe more about Vancouver's queer history, but the Burnaby one is sort of quieter, a little more unknown. So that's been interesting. And also the working waterfront. So Burnaby has Burrard Inlet along the Fraser River, and even Still Creek. They've been industrial areas for about 100 years or so. And so that's kind of a long time. And if you look at the history of like the physical geography or urban geography of Burnaby, it's changed so much in 100 years. But for me, I feel like the way our waterfronts look and the contributions of industry has really remained relatively stable. Some people might disagree with that, but from sort of an outsider view, from someone who's curious, the physical space and the land use as well has been stable. So we don't know an awful lot about that, but really interested in anyone who's worked on the waterfront, whether it's along sawmills, logging, energy resources, shipping now. So those are sort of three focuses.
How can people who are interested in just the stories being shared through this access it in the first place?
The easiest way is to go to Heritage Burnaby. You could just Google that phrase and you'll find it. And if you go to our homepage, there's a tile that says Oral History Collection. So you'll get access to our entire what's basically what is available and online and sort of ready to go. So if you want to peruse, you can search by community, you can search by keyword. But the search function is quite good if you know what you're looking for, but it's also not such a huge collection that you could probably just browse, you know, over the few pages. But Heritage Burnaby is the place to go and listen and see what we've done so far.
Mm-hmm. And right now there's just an active call for more people to contribute, correct?
Yes, there's always an active call, and those three sort of topics I mentioned, we're especially interested, and there's some momentum there. Yes.
Those were the main questions I had regarding the Many Voices project, but if there's anything we didn't touch on that you think is worth mentioning that people should know about, please do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I just like, I sort of already said this, but I just like to underscore that this project is... It's contributing to the museum's collection. I think sometimes people think of museums as basements with old things, which is not untrue. But we do more than that. We're always collecting. We're always sort of trying to record and make contributions to the historical record and share those contributions. So I see that project like that, and I think sometimes that's a little harder and more intangible for people to understand. But also just to encourage people to contact me or contact the museum if you have questions, if you're not really sure, if you want to just kind of explore. Like, we interview people that have a connection to Burnaby, so even if you think, oh, I've only been here a year, but I've done all these things and I intend to do these future things, like that works for us. You know, it's, I would just invite people to think about their own stories and how they probably are quite relevant to what we're looking at, because we're looking at Burnaby and we're looking at documenting it now for future historians, researchers, and scholars.
Once again, that was our interview with Kate Petrusa, the assistant curator at the Burnaby Village Museum, on the Many Voices project, which has put a call out for more participants to share their experiences living in Burnaby through oral history interviews, which will then be included in the city's historical record for those to access online. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This interview would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at embarksustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at embarksustain.
It's Nardwar, the human serviette, saying you're listening to CJSF Burnaby and do-do-loo-do CJSF.
Yeah. A Renaissance Coffee is open at SFU. Parminder and his team have been serving the SFU community with great coffee for more than 20 years. If you're looking for a wholesome meal, delectable desserts, or something to warm yourself and lift your spirits, Renaissance Cafe is a place to be. Featuring fair trade espresso beverages and brewed coffee. Renaissance Coffee is open Monday to Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Well, how do you get up and go?
All right, we have reached the very end of this hour of Speak Up only on CJSF 90.1 FM. But I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. In about 30 seconds, we have Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. You won't want to miss it. But then afterwards, we have a lot of other amazing programs here at CJSF, from Raccoon City to Typically Tuesdays, and then later in the night with Slumber Party and Bitcoover. Make sure you tune in for all that amazing programming here, live at CJSF. All right, it's been a pleasure, and you'll hear from me next week.